Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Well, my mom was an elementary school teacher. One of the kids thought God's actual name was Harold, as in our Father who art in heaven. Harold, it be thy name. I know that's an old one. It applies to my sermon. We have an interruption from the youth pastor. Excuse me. We have a plumbing emergency. It's all right. We're just going to let it go. All the toilets are overflowing and out of order. If you got to go, I apologize. Hopefully you didn't drink too much coffee. Thank you, Pastor Caleb. Let me give him some Christmas love this year for handling that. Give it up for Caleb. All right. I was really hoping that he had planned like a joke interruption or something. I was really hoping that. Okay. All right. We're just going to keep going here. Well, I'll keep the sermon short, I promise. All right. So what's the best Christmas present you could possibly get? A broken drum. You can't beat it. Oh, I know. All right. So who had a kid that would just play on the drum forever? So my brother-in-law, David, he's a drummer. He used to be our drummer here before he moved to Denmark. And apparently he would bang on all the pots and pans with spoons. So if you've got a drummer in your house, that's how you know. Just warning to any future parents. And hopefully there'll be a drummer here. That'd be even better when they're older. But this month we are unwrapping Christmas together. And it's easy to miss the extraordinary when it is wrapped up in the ordinary or even in the painful or the mundane. Last week, we talked about unwrapping all things wrapping paper. If you missed it, I encourage you to check the podcast out. I heard I talked a little fast, so I'm going to slow down today. I apologize if we all got on a roller coaster of speed last week. But we were talking about how we need to know we are called and we have a gift with our name on it from God in every situation we face. All things work together for those who love the Lord. Unwrap the all things in your life to find the good that God is making in your life, no matter what the circumstance. Amen. Our key verse for this month is, "For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." And that word revealed means uncover or reveal, but I think a cool way to also say that is unwrapped, right? So all creation waits for the children of God to be unwrapped. Isn't that a neat mental image? Creation is like little kids on Christmas every day waiting for you and I to choose to unwrap who God is and who we are in Christ. And I heard this week. This was powerful. This is obvious maybe for most of us, but I didn't think about it this way. In heaven, there is no spot, there is no corner, there is no space where God is not present, right? Can we all agree on that? There is no separation. Earth can no longer try to wrap up or separate us from God in heaven. And so when we pray and when we unwrap who God is on earth, it's like we're walking out the prayer on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, God, in my life, let there be no separation. Let there be no corner. Let there be no relationship. Let there be no area of my life where you are not present. Like Jason led the song, I love your presence, right? It's an incredibly repetitive song, if you don't like repetitive songs. However, in God, in heaven, there is no spot where God's presence is not. That's why we sing, I love your presence. It's saying, on earth as it is in heaven. I love on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so we started 2023 out going over the names of God last January, if you were here. And it was such a powerful month in January. We talked about how the names of God transform us. And we went through a bunch of names of God. But today, we're asking, what does it really mean to call on God? And who do you call God this Christmas? For a child was born to us, a son was born to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name hypothetically could be called, depending on your background or your mistakes, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Eternal Father. Is that the right translation? Just seeing if we're awake. All right, how about we try this again? His name, Shelby. Wow, we got some King James over here. Let's go over to New Living. What is it? Wilby. There we go. We got Wilby and Shelby. Jesus, bring Wilby and Shelby to church this morning. All right. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. And I love this definition of Wonderful Counselor. Extraordinary Strategist. His name will be called Extraordinary Strategist. That's hard to say this morning. Mighty God, Eternal Father, or Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. His name will be called. Can you just say called with me this morning? By the way, that's Isaiah 9:6. Called means to expose or reveal or to invite, and is identical to another word that means to meet and encounter. In other words, his name will reveal him as our Wonderful Counselor. And that name represents authority, character, renown, right? When you call someone by their name, you're recognizing who they are. And so it's saying your name will reveal your authority and your character and your renown. When I call on God, I'm inviting who he is into my life. Are you following? So I love this because that word called is used also in Genesis 1:5. It says, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night. In other words, and God revealed the light as day. Or maybe you could even say God unwrapped the light as day and he unwrapped the darkness as night. Isn't that cool? It's very poetic if you look at it that way. When we call on God, we unwrap and invite his character and his authority on earth. So who are you calling God this Christmas? That's the question we're asking this morning. If we think we are calling God a controlling perfectionist, we'll be at church today maybe out of duty and out of performance. If we're calling God outrageously good, we'll have hope for tomorrow. If we're calling God weak or smaller than any mountains we're facing, we won't have strength to face the day. If we call him a forgiving father, I can forgive because I am forgiven. If we're calling God a nagging friend, I'll go numb and I won't listen to him anymore. I won't have any hunger for his word. If we're calling him a distant dictator, my relationships to others and to myself and to God are going to turn very toxic very fast. Who we call God matters this morning. We either believe God's name has power or we don't. And this is a nod to the Christian comedian Darren Streblo. Anyone remember Darren Streblo this year? A couple people. We had a packed house. We partnered with Focus on the Family, and we got Darren Streblo. He's a Christian comedian, one of my heroes from when I was young. And he has a whole little comedian riff where he says, there's a reason cuss words aren't, he goes, oh, Buddha, or Hare H. Krishna, would you look at that? Has anyone ever heard that? No, why not? How about, oh, Muhammad? No. There's a reason, right? Even people who don't believe in Jesus know that his name is something you should say, even if you don't say it in the right circumstance, right? Which I'm sure none of us do here, right? But there is a reason that even people who don't believe he's real choose that name and not some random name. Let's face it, there are a lot of weird names you could call on, but they call on that name because his name has power. And yes, Darren Streblo does it a lot funnier, so you can look it up later. But in my phone, at the top of my contacts, I have a picture of Brian. It says Brian, right? And then it has a goofy picture that I probably should update, but I can't figure out how to get in. And it means that under favorites, if, you know, some good news really happens, and I'm like, oh, I flip to my favorites, and Brian's right there, and I just click it, and he calls my husband, right? How about if something really bad happens, if I'm stuck on the side of the road, I just go to favorites, click it, and I call my husband. My question is, who do you call when you're in trouble? But also, who do you call when something good is happening? Because some of us have God on repeat when we're in trouble, and God says, hey, you can also call me friend. I don't want to just save you. I want to be a savior that you're walking with in the good times too, right? Some of us have God categorized in the wrong contact list, and he wants to be in all of the contact lists. He wants to be at the top with his little picture, right? And how about this? I refuse to let someone call on God's name in vain more on earth than the church is calling on his name to honor him and for help. Right? Can we just say that one more time? I refuse to let someone call on God's name more in vain on earth then the church is calling on his name to honor him and for help. Can we just agree as a church that that's a statement we want to get behind? For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls, everyone say calls, on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 2. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Acts 22. I think we're supposed to call on his name. When was the last time you called on the name of God for your home, for your health, for your finances, for your relationships, your kids, for our church? How about for our region? How about for our nation? There are a lot of names we can call on a lot of those places. Some of us like to call those situations names that they shouldn't be called. But are we calling on God, and what name are we calling on? Who are we calling on? Are you following? Some of us are like, well, my dad treated me this way, or life hit this way, or my ex did this to me, and now I've wrapped up God and who he is in a little box. And this is who God is. So I can't actually call on him. I'm going to call on a wrapped up version of God. And that's why the names of God exist, because how many know God is bigger than anything we could ever try to wrap up, right? A few names we looked at last January when we did the name series were Elroy, the God who sees. This was used in Genesis, where God met an Egyptian slave girl where she was at and saw her pain. How about El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God? Genesis 17, God met Abram and made him a father of nations. How about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner? This was Exodus 17, when God delivered the Israelites miraculously in battle. How about Jehovah Jireh? Genesis 22, when God provided a ram in the bush for Abraham so he didn't have to sacrifice his son. Don't just let God call on your name, call on God's name. There we go. Got a little tongue twister. Don't just let God call on your name, call on his name. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we can just kind of show up and we're like, wow, I just feel called this morning. I'm walking in the favor, right? And this good thing happened, or maybe this bad thing happened. But you know what? I still feel called. And God's saying, hey, would you call on me? God died and came to earth and resurrected so we could have a two-way relationship. Not just so he could save us, but so that we could then walk with him. If you are pursuing God as your everlasting Father and you call on him, he is there to meet you. Anyone ever tried to call someone and it's just a ring, ring, ring? I won't name any names here out of respect, but there are some family members that put their phone on silent. Some of you all have tried to reach them too. And then pretty soon, what's the next step after silent? You go to find me, right? You're like, if I can't reach you, I'm going to know where you are. Where are you, right? And you try and track them down, right? It's ridiculous. And then sometimes they've switched their location off, cough, cough, Brian, right? So then I can't even stalk my husband. I'm like, I don't even know where you are. I can't reach you. Are you alive? What's happening, right? You spiral. No one's got anxiety here but me, right? That's just me. Okay. Listen, God is not like that. When you call on God as your everlasting Father, the next question to ask is, how am I experiencing God as my Father right now? All right? When you call God, mighty God, how am I experiencing his strength in my weakness? Listen, you may not be able to even know. You might be like, I'm not experiencing his strength. Well, that's a good place to start. Keep calling. Because when you call, you invite, right? That word call means to invite. How about God as your counselor? How are you following his red letter counsel? It's good to go to a counselor, a Christian counselor. It's good to talk to people, but it's also incredibly important to read the red letter counsel of God. That's where his counseling center is, right? Prince of Peace, how am I submitting to the authority of peace in my life right now, right? The Prince of Peace. That's Prince is a ruler, is someone with authority. In the Bible, we see when people called on God, he revealed himself to them in a way they needed it and could receive. To a shepherd, he called himself a shepherd. To sinners, he called himself a savior. He was a father to the fatherless, a friend to the lonely, a king to our lost humanity. Who loves the song Waymaker? Anybody like Waymaker? Waymaker. Right. When it came out, there was nobody here, and I had to sing to that camera, and it was like, it was excruciating. I was like, Waymaker. Because then I had to edit my video, and I was like, Jesus, bring the people back. Are we ever going to sing this song together? Right? Waymaker. That's what I always think of when we do. And then we sing it in Spanish, which is even better, personally. But we can call God Waymaker, but do we actually realize when we do that, we're inviting his ways into our ways? This is not a hit song on the radio that you're like playing on, you know, going to work. When you sing Waymaker, you're saying, I'm going to call you Waymaker, and I'm inviting the Waymaker to have his ways into my ways. In fact, it's more like I'm submitting my ways to you because you're the Waymaker. Are you following? How many know the song Savior? It goes, Savior, you are my Savior. Anybody know that song? We do it all the time. It's meant to be done with an incredibly beautiful gospel choir. We are not that. But if you look it up, that's actually how the song goes. But it says, you are my Savior. When we do that, we're actually saying, hey, save me. Save me. Don't just check out during worship and be like, oh, isn't this a pretty song? Or why do they have to do this song? When we're singing the words and the names of God, how many know at the mention of your name, right? To call on your name. When I invite your name, right? I wish we could have done that song today. It was so beautiful. At the mention of your name. Abraham thought about all this, but his faith in God did not become weak. Everyone say weak. He never doubted. That is a strong statement. I don't know if I could ever say never doubted. Wow. He never doubted that God would keep his promise, and he never, strong word, stopped believing. He grew stronger in his faith, and he gave praise to God. Romans 4, 19 through 22. But his faith in God did not become weak. That word weak is the same word as sick that God uses when he said, I heal the sick and raise the dead. And it's also in Matthew 25 where it says, and you clothed me, I was sick, and you visited me. In other words, when God said, I'm going to heal the sick, he's also saying, I'm going to heal your unbelief. I'm going to heal the areas in you that are calling out to the wrong things because you keep doubting that I'm going to show up and you aren't calling out to me like I created you to. You following? God wants to heal our unbelief like he healed the sick. If you've been in church for a while, who's been in church for over, let's see, 20 years? Anybody? All right. How about 40 years? We're just going for the big one. All right. All right. A little competition here. I feel like we're at a wedding. How about 45 years? Okay. 50 years? Ooh. 55 years? 60 years? Okay. It was between. Awesome. Can we just give it up for them? That's a long time to be in church. Wow. May we all get there, depending on our, yes, if we all live beyond 100, that we can all get there. But if you've been in church for a while, or you've just established your own ideas through your life experiences, it's very easy to put who God is in a box and to wrap him up. But we are going, oh, look at that. We got to take it out of the box. That was not meant to happen, but apparently it was. So I wanted to go to Revelation because at Christmas time, we often focus on Jesus in a manger. And I don't know about you, but that's one of my favorite images for Jesus, right? Jesus in a manger. But how many know Jesus did not stay in the manger, right? And last week we did a song called The Manger Throne, which was really powerful. That was Brian's song that he wanted to do. It was a great song, Manger Throne. And I want to actually go to Revelation. Ooh, everyone say ooh, right? We're going to go to the book of Revelation, and we're going to describe who God is there, because he ain't on a manger anymore. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. It goes on to describe lightning and thunder and singing to the Almighty One, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? And if you've been in church for a while, depending on the church you've been in, there was a song called Revelation Song. And I grew up singing that. You think we sang some of these songs for a while this morning. We used to sing Revelation Song for like 6 hours. And if you think I'm really weird, that's fine. But it was a good song. And it basically was talking about who God was, who God is, not was, and is to come, right? Amen. Who God is on his throne right now. He didn't stay on a manger. Who God is so much bigger. We cannot fit him in a box. His authority and character are bigger than our world. And he gives us the gift of being able to unwrap who he is when we call on his name. It's so easy in English to just say, dear God, right? Maybe we, if you're super spiritual, you're like, Heavenly Father, right? Heavenly Father, dear God. But what if we actually start calling on God by some of his names in the Bible? Because we're actually saying, this is your character. And it not only says this is your character, but it points to the part in the Bible where he first introduced himself as that, right? And then you can do a Bible study on it. Like Jehovah Jireh, that's great, but what was happening when God actually revealed himself as the provider? It wasn't someone like going to McDonald's and eating a hamburger and finding a dollar. It was a little bit deeper than that, right? And getting into that story for yourself, it anchors you. His names are anchors. And when you call on the name of God, you will be saved, right? It matters who we call him. So we're going to wrap up here. No pun intended. We're going to unwrap here. Got to watch that. All right. So I got 5 minutes. We're going to do the names of God just really quick. Yes, this is probably too much, but just let the names of God wash over you, because one of these names might stand out to you as a name that you need this Christmas season. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his names will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Counselor, that's also cool. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. So number one, everyone say number one, Wonderful Counselor. Again, when you look at that actual word, it means extraordinary advisor or strategist. I didn't have enough caffeine to say that word. Strategist, right? Extraordinary advisor or strategist. Who needs God as their strategist right now, right? Maybe your marriage or your relationship status or your finances or your maybe your emotional or mental well-being. How many know we need the Holy Spirit? We need an advisor, right? This church, we don't just do church alone. We actually have three pastors that advise us from outside of our church. And we don't want to ever do church alone, but we aren't also meant to live alone, right? We're not meant to do life alone. So my question to you this morning is, how are you experiencing God as your counselor right now? All right? How are you experiencing God as your counselor? If your answer is not at all, you might need to be getting into his counseling office hours. They're called the red letters. All right, get into the red letters. Super simple. And if you can't understand what the red letters are saying, that's okay. Get with somebody and get into the red letters. And if you don't understand the character and the heart behind the red letters, and if you don't even know what the red letters are, they're the words of Jesus. In some Bibles, they turn them red. It's a really cool thing that they do in the Bible. We have the Jesus journey, right, which is right on your way out. You can just grab one of those. It takes you through the life of Jesus on your own time. And it introduces you to who Jesus is, the red letters. You need conflict help, you got Matthew 18. How do we pray? Luke 11. Leadership skills, John 13. Just keeps going on, right? Lots of parables, lots of revelation. But in John 14, it says, but the comforter, and that word comforter means counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. So we know that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate fulfillment of the Wonderful Counselor that came through Jesus, right? So if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you don't even know what that means, talk to Pastor Caleb. We're going to have baptisms on New Year's Eve. It's going to be a party. Number two, everyone say number two, Mighty God. That word mighty means champion, hero, valiant warrior. Tony Evans says, might is the ability to use that strength strategically for the good of others. Jesus, Emmanuel, embodies might in its most perfect form. Might is the ability to use that strength strategically for the good of others. God is our hero. He is our champion. He is our warrior. So how are you experiencing God as your hero? When I was a little kid, I don't remember this, but I'm told it happened, that little. I was at a kids event. It was like a kids camp down at the Youth Bureau in Ithaca. And we were supposed to draw our heroes. And it was like you're supposed to draw life forms, you know, on paper. You're outlining your body, and then you draw the form. And it was run by a Jewish man. He happened to be Jewish. and the kids camp director. So everybody's doing Superman, and I don't know what other heroes. There's so many heroes. If you want to talk about heroes, talk to Steve and Vanessa. They do all the hero work there. But there are a lot of heroes that you could pick. And me, being like 4 years old, drew Jesus. And it was really cute. And hopefully it was a witness to the Jewish man. Maybe he got to know who Yeshua is a little bit. But who is your hero? There's only room for one name next to that contact hero. Remember? Some of us are only calling on God to save us when God says, hey, I want to save you, but I also want to walk with you as your savior. Some of us have our name next to hero on contacts. How's that working for you? I've tried it. Doesn't work so well. You try to be a hero to your spouse, to your coworker. You can be a hero sometimes, but there's only one hero that will actually be the valiant warrior that all of humanity is longing for. You'll get tired. Everlasting Father. I'm almost done here. Everlasting Father, this word, I actually did a double take when I looked up what this word meant. It means perpetuity. What? It means perpetuity. In finance, because my husband's doing accounting now, a stream of cash payments that continues forever. Who wants to sign up for some perpetuity? Get me on that list, right? And the definition said there are only a few actual perpetuities in existence. I want to tell you, one of those very few in existence is here today. Right now in this room, right? On earth as it is in heaven, our everlasting Father, our Father who art in heaven, how to be your name. He is our perpetuity. He is an everlasting resource. When you call God, God, you are my everlasting Father, you're saying, God, I invite your resources to become my resources. And a little hint to you, it might mean some reprioritization might get a little uncomfortable, but his resources never end, right? You can get in those red letters to see what those resources are. My favorite prayer that was prayed by a mother of this church for years, years, years ago, she was a missionary in Africa, was Daddy God help. Daddy help, right? Elizabeth Austin, Daddy help. And she would parachute in a little dress skirt into the jungles of Africa. So when she called Daddy help, like that was a real prayer, just putting that out there. And she was saying, God, you are my resource. I need you right now in this jungle as I'm landing and parachuting to go meet with chiefs and tribes. And lastly is Prince of Peace, Chief Official Governor. And we all know what shalom is if you've been here for the last 2 months. Completeness, peace, soundness, wholeness. Like mighty God, if you're trying to be the chief and governor of your life, you will never ever walk in peace that is beyond understanding, right? So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? We get to experience God to the level that we get to invite him into our lives, right? A couple weeks ago, we talked about how God knocks on the door of our heart. He wants to be let in. He wants to eat with us at the table of our heart. Who are you calling God this Christmas? For your family, for yourself? Maybe you want to think bigger. You want to call God one of his names for our country, for our world, for a situation in the world that is causing you heartbreak. So I want to read the names of God. Not all the names, don't worry. We will not go over time that much. But I got a list here, and I'm going to read these. And I invite you to close your eyes, and as I'm reading them, to raise your hand when you hear a name of God that is really speaking to you for this Christmas, for your life, all right? And as you raise your hand, God, I thank you that it's just a sign we're calling out to you, God. God, you are a mighty God. You are our counselor. You are our red letter counselor, God. You are our everlasting Father. You are our Prince of Peace, and we call on you, God. We don't just let you call us, but we call on you. So I'm going to read these, and I just invite you just to receive and to call on God. El Roy, the God who sees you. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord heals you. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is your shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is here. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is your peace. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is your banner or your victory. Abba Father, he's our Father. Adonai, he is our Lord. He is our master. He is sovereign. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Emmanuel, God with us, and the Lion of Judah, the God who is brave and who is strong. God, we invite you to be you this Christmas. Father, would you just unwrap any wrapping paper from life, any lies that we've picked up along the way, whether it's from childhood or past experiences or even current experiences. God, we thank you that we get to define who you are by your word. We don't define who you are just by our past. Would you unwrap your character and authority in us in new ways this Christmas? Let us not leave a box or a gift wrapped up in our heart. Christ in you is the hope of glory, the word says. So God, would you unwrap who Christ is in us? Give us a glimpse of your glory. Whether we need to see you in a manger, in the messy places of our life, or whether we need to see you on the throne with rainbows and thunder and lightning, realizing that heaven does not have an empty throne this morning. We honor you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.